So just yesterday, we had to drop our car off to get it fixed. My wife had to pick me up to take me back home. She picks me up. We're driving back. And it's in a part of town we don't drive in as much. And all of a sudden, we're coming to the intersection. We got to take a left. And she's not in the lane to turn left. I'm like, honey, you got to turn left here. She's like, yeah, I know. And then she keeps driving. We're getting closer and closer to the intersection. I'm like, honey, you got to get over here. And there are cars now. Like the left-hand turning lane is, there are people there. And she's having a hard time getting, hey, you've got to get over. You've got to get over. I know, there are people behind me. There are people like that. I know, but you can quit driving. You got to get over. And she's like, stop. You got to stop. No backseat driving. If I'm driving, you cannot backseat drive at all. I've said, honey, I'm not backseat driving. Think of it just as collaborative driving. This is collaborative driving. We're working together as a team here because we got to get home safely here. If any of you have ever been tempted to, I guess we'll call it collaborative driving or anything like that, you are going to love today's podcast. Stick around, everybody. I'm Darren.
And I'm Jeff. Welcome to the Voice Box. Our guest today is Roberto Ciccone from Drive. Roberto, it's good to have you on the Voice Box.
Thank you for having me. My pleasure.
Okay, give us the scoop. What is Drive all about? What's your mission? What are you trying to do?
Well, our first goal is to prevent crashes that are preventable.
Why weren't you in the car with me yesterday when I was driving with my wife? We didn't actually get in an accident.
Yeah, our product is a sort of a virtual me in this case that you install and advises you on how to drive. It's not so much a navigation tool, although it can get to that level. It's more about monitoring what you as a driver are doing and what is ahead of you that you may not have noticed. And whenever there is a discrepancy, then our solution pings you with audible alerts, warnings, spoken messages, depending on how urgent the message is and how serious it is.
Are you like, if I'm in a car and the car says to me, you know, like maybe something like vibrates, like I'm going over the lane, or it might say slow down or something. Is that what kind of messaging Drive is doing?
Conceptually, yes. The whole thing uses audio. The idea is to have an aftermarket solution that you install in your car, the same way you have a navigation system also, an aftermarket navigation system. So we don't intervene on the car. We don't make anything vibrate. We don't act on the steering wheel or the pedals. It's all up to you. But what we do is play exactly what you were saying before. We are an educated passenger or co-pilot or driving assistant, however you want to call it, who sees what needs to be done and sees if you're not doing it. And then at some point, they may decide to speak up.
So it's like if I have maybe an older model car or a car that didn't come with all of these fancy features, mm-hmm. I can get your app and it's on my phone in the car or some device in the car. So it's not built into the car, but it's there anyway, coaching me and helping me.
Right. There's really three implementations we have in mind. One is the one you described. A phone that you install in the windshield and you use everything inside the phone, including cameras, to look at the road, look at you and talk to you and connect with the network, et cetera. The second one is a dedicated phone, quote unquote, or unit black box that you install in a commercial vehicle that you don't carry with you. You don't bring in and out of the vehicle. It stays with the vehicle, but it's conceptually still an aftermarket. And that one has the ability to connect to the OBD2, CAN bus, and then do some more things with the car, with the vehicle. The third one is OEMs. We are talking to some OEMs and tier ones, and the idea is to embed our technology into their system. At that point, we have access to everything in the car, including existing ADAS solutions, existing driving monitor solutions. And what we want to do in that case is make sense out of all the sensory processing that is already happening.
By the way, does your device have a name? Does it like Bob or something like that?
I would say we call it a Drive. The same name as the company, but we at some point we were thinking with a specific nickname that we thought might be more useful, and we thought about the name of Walter. Walter happened to be my grandfather, who was a passionate driver in the ages. He was born 1907, so you know, at the beginning of the car revolution, if you wish, and it was one of the first ones driving cars. Matter of fact, his father was the only person in town who had a car, at some point, and then he was driving it at the age of 12, with no driver's license, but those are different times. And he was a passionate car lover. Yeah, he was a successful entrepreneur. He always had the top-end car from Mercedes, from BMW, very proud of those cars. So he would drive everywhere in Europe, never use a plane. So he was really into driving cars, good cars. And then when I was old enough to get my driver's license, I did my best to learn from all the lessons from him. And in one of, I remember my first real showcase, I had my fresh driver's license. I invited him to come into my car. I prepared for a couple of days driving in the neighborhood, making sure that I knew every corner. I would not be surprised by anything. And I thought I did a stellar job. I drove around the corners, did my tour, talking to him and explaining things that I could see on the road and looking at him and looking for some comments from him. And then at the end, he told me, look, Roberto, you have very good driving skills, but you look around way too much. And for me, that was a cold shower. I was so proud of my driving skills. I didn't think that looking around was potentially that problematic. And that was really a wake-up call for me. I remember these words many times in many years later. In a couple of cases, I got to some close calls situations, and that reminded me that even the best driver sometimes needs to be monitored a little bit, and then be advised by somebody who is constantly watching the scene and deciding what the driver is doing. And that really was the beginning of the idea that led to what we're doing today.
Yeah, I was going to suggest that you name it after me, because I thought Darren was a good name. But with the inspiration of Walter, I think Walter is a good story, because the whole idea is, as a driver, you want to have your eyes on the road. You don't want to be looking around too much. I mean, you want to be looking around, you want to be aware, but it's helpful to have someone else who does the looking around for you, so you don't have to do that. So what would Walter, or whatever the name of the drive contraption is, what are some things that Walter looks out for and can warn people about? Give me an idea.
Yeah, the same thing that you would do as a passenger. If you're a passenger, you have any driving skills, you know more or less what needs to be done. If you see a traffic light that's turning red at a distance, depending on distance, you know already when you start slowing down. So they don't have to do it the last minute and then have a heartbreaking. You don't want to start too early and then create a line of cars behind you. So there's some trade-offs and some margins for errors that you can put in. But at some point, things get dicey. And as a passenger, you can wait, the driver is not reacting, is not slowing down. At some point, you say, hey, did you see that traffic light is red? And so there's a threshold where you start feeling uncomfortable and you say, okay, now I need to speak up. Otherwise, this guy may not have seen it. In the same for turns, they for missed exits, all the things that you mentioned before. So we want to have an educated passenger who is looking at the scene, understanding what is on the road, cars ahead, pedestrian crossing, animals jumping over the lane. And then depending on the speed of the car, depending on weather conditions, depending on how slippery the road is, depending on how distance from other cars or so, at some point you decide, okay, this is getting a little too close to a potential collision, and you want to speak up.
I like what you call it. So instead of my wife ever calling me a backseat driver, I'm just going to say I'm an educated passenger. That was your term, yeah. Right?
Okay. Yes.
I'm an educated passenger that I have to speak up. Most people don't like backseat drivers. Do you find that people like having Walter, the educated passenger, with them?
Well, one reason why I refer to passenger rather than backseat to passenger is because the passenger usually sits in the front and has the same view as the driver. The backseat to passenger, depending on the car, may have a very limited view. So they may speak up without reason. They may not see that there is a room for the car to move to, switch lane, other things. So they are, even if they're well, if they had good intention, they may not have all the information that the driver has. The camera that we put on the front windshield has that full view of the road ahead and to some extent the sides, and has information that can come from the car potentially. And that gets combined with the second camera that looks at the face of the driver to make sure the driver sees what is happening in the front. And the key really is understanding if the driver is reacting to the same stimuli that the front camera is seeing. If you see a passenger moving across, And then you can detect that the face of the driver or the eyes of the driver are following the pedestrian. You don't even have to ask the pedestrian, the driver, if he's paying attention, you know. But if the driver is looking to the left, waiting for something coming from the intersection, and the pedestrian comes from the right, and then all of a sudden starts moving without ever looking to the right, you know he has not seen the pedestrian, and then you need to speak up.
So that sounds like a very sophisticated system. You are using computer vision to watch what's going on outside the car, but it also sounds like you're also tracking the eye gaze of the driver, and you're also listening to the driver and carrying on a conversation. That's a very sophisticated system. Is that happening on the device, on the phone, or is the phone communicating with something in the cloud that's doing all of that heavy computation?
That's a good point. Anything related to safety is processed on a device. And this is because we, at least here in the States, we cannot guarantee connectivity everywhere. And we don't want to have a safety system that depends on where you are. So all the processing is done on the device, but we do have a connection with the cloud. And the connection with the cloud is necessary for two reasons. One, because we have also mapping and navigation capabilities, traffic information, so that information has to come from the cloud. So if you do have connectivity, we take advantage of it. The second thing is that if you are a driver, a commercial driver, for instance, and the fleet manager wants to know what you are and how you're driving, they don't want to wait until the end of the day to get a report and then decide based on that. They want to know in real time. So we use the cloud connectivity whenever possible to transfer information about where you are, how fast you're going, what events we detected, braking, cornering, speeding, distracted driving, drowsy driving, et cetera. And then those events go straight up to the cloud via cellular connection together with snapshots of you and the road so that anybody watching this can look at what is happening in real time, but only when the events are. And then the videos that we collect usually are stored on the device. And whenever the device is in a Wi-Fi sort of the area, we transfer them in background. And then they become part of the whole collection of recordings. So after the trip, whenever the device is in Wi-Fi zone, you get also the full video information.
So the voice that's speaking to me, I just got to figure out what makes it a nicer voice, because my wife doesn't like it when I tell her to drive. And I don't like it when she tells me how to drive. So how do you make the voice friendly and welcome, and so you're getting good advice here? Oh, I love having Walter or drive talk to me, as opposed to I hate having someone nag me.
Well, right now we are using a single voice and not that much prosody changes to emphasize certain elements that we definitely will want to get there. And I know we discussed this with Jeff in the past. There's definitely a lot of room to do things right there. Today, I prefer a deep male voice, because to me it's a little more neutral. It doesn't excite me. It doesn't worry me. A high-pitched female voice tends to appears through whatever noise that you have in the background. You definitely hear it, but it can be also unnerving over time.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, high-pitched female. No, against, I'm going to get in trouble here, but like, no, get out of the lane! Stop! There's a red light on there! That's not the voice I really want. But used
carefully, it can be extremely effective. So if you have a calm voice, most of the time when the warnings are warnings, and then you escalate it to a louder and higher pitch voice when things get a little risky, then it reaches exactly the effect you would like to get.
So yeah, it starts low male voice. Slow down. There's a red light coming. Slow down. There's a red light coming. Slow down. There's a slow down. There's a red light coming.
You
like
got it. You got it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I love that. If you need me to come over and voice the stuff for you, just let me know. Okay? I'll be trapped in an audio booth all day long, shrieking that high-pitched, shrill, high voice.
But see, the whole point in my mind, this is kind of our long-term mission. We really like the vehicle in this case, but any kind of device, to interact the way humans do. I mean, there's a reason why you develop certain speaking skills and we learn how to decode them. So by analyzing pitch variations, speed, loudness, et cetera, we kind of know what is the meaning behind it. And that is an additional channel that is extremely powerful. Machines, for the most part, don't do it today, unless they use recorded voices. But they have very limited abilities in synthesizing on the fly. But that's definitely where we like to get to.
So Roberto, you're gonna have a wish, okay? It's the genie in the box time, since this is the voice box. You're gonna rub the box, the genie's gonna pop out, grant you any wish that you want for speech voice technology. What would you wish for to make Drive and or Walter the leaps and bounds ahead? What are you looking for? What technology?
Well, I would say probably a sophisticated natural language generation tool. Today there is very good examples of natural language processing tools that allow you to understand what is behind words that you want to synthesize. But then the problem is, how do you convey that message that you understood from the sequence of words into a proper pronunciation and emphasis in synthesizing the voice? There are tools today that allow you to modify most of the parameters by hand, but they're not the real time. They're usually in the hand of a person. You want to automate that and make it as intelligent, quote unquote, as a human being would be. So you have a good anchor person or speaker who reads the text. He knows how to emphasize words, so where to slow down, where to speed up, where to change volume, where to change the pitch to convey the content. And the content is not just the words, it's the message behind it. That's the hard part. But if somebody comes up, maybe Jeff has the right technology to do it, I would be the first one to introduce it in our car.
It sounds like you want not just the natural language generation, but also the right prosody and the right way of saying it.
Right. That counts, because then you have qualifiers that you can use in the synthesizer to change parameters, but automatically based on the understanding of the message that you want to convey.
Okay, we'll get to work on it. It's been fascinating talking to you. And I want to try to adapt everything you said. I want to adapt Drive and Walter technology into my own thing. Whereas I'm getting closer, I'm getting more excited. My pitch is going to get higher. Thanks so much for being with us. It's fantastic. I've been learning all sorts of great stuff. I'm looking forward to having Drive in my car someday. Did that sort of work? Did you catch on to that?
I didn't understand a word you said.
Looking forward to having Drive in my car someday. But I was trying to get the excited with a high pitch, you know, as you're getting closer to the red light. And it, never mind.
I got it.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm far from being somebody who can clearly see the future. But what I see happening is new technologies get into dash centers like Android Automotive. This ability to paste the content and morph the way it gets presented will benefit from it also. Today we have a one size fits all in the interface, either for speech recognition and synthesis, and it's kind of boring and not very useful and can be distracting too. So you like to have a system embedded into the car in the dash center that can handle communication the way human would do. And I think this is probably going to be there in 10 years.
Well, we'll get there faster, because we'll just speed up a little bit more.
Hopefully, I'll push to make it faster, but I'm trying to be realistic.
There we go. Hey, Roberto, thanks so much for joining us. Thanks for giving us a glimpse at the future, but it really is the present right now, at the present of driving safer to help people all get to where they need to go safer and more effectively with their own personal backseat driver, but it instead is a collaborative passenger Walter sitting along with him, helping him get there. Thanks.
Thank you, Roberto.
Thank you. It was great talking to you.
So Jeff, I got to find out, is what he's asking for feasible? Because it can get a little bit complicated. It's not just like some little device saying, slow down, there's a red light. But there are a lot of things to be taking in and communicating that to the driver, right?
Right, that's right. And in fact, if you think about it, the number of kinds of conditions that you might want to warn or advise the driver about, that explodes. You can't pre-record a comment for every possible contingency. And this is exactly what Roberto was asking about in his genie wish, is he wishes that there were really good technology. And I think there's getting to be really good technology here for figuring out what exactly to say. If you notice that the driver's not paying attention, or that there's a dog running in from the right, or that there's whatever, any number of things that you might want to warn or advise the driver about. How exactly do you put that into words? What is the sentence that's going to make sense? What is the tone that you want to put on top of that sentence? If you just use a generic out of the box speech synthesizer, it will speak somewhat mechanically. I don't I don't mean necessarily mechanically, they're sounding pretty natural these days, but they're kind of monotonic. It's not, you know, as you were.
Like he said, if you're getting close to the red light, stop. You got to have a little more emphasis so someone stops.
We don't have a way right now of getting Siri or Alexa or whoever to like increase their pitch and sound more urgent or whatever. There are some limited controls there, but this is the kind of thing that he wants. More control over and smarter understanding of what to say and how to say it and how to make that happen. That's a good and challenging task for speech scientists to be working on.
Let me ask a second part, because right now it sounds like Walter, I don't know if he's really named it Walter yet, but if he names it Walter, Walter is just talking to the driver. Does there need to be a two-way communication functionality built into here so that the driver can talk back to Walter? Do you see a benefit for that?
Yeah, I think there does need to be that.
Like, shut up, Walter. I see the red light. I got it. I'm with you. Okay.
Yeah, but I think it's more than just that. It's also telling Walter, keep an eye out for deer on this stretch of road. You could also imagine, I know in some of the earlier incarnations, Roberto was imagining, Darren, you and I have been driving like late at night on isolated highways in the middle of nowhere. In fact,
and just to let everybody know, I wasn't the one who fell asleep and lost control of the car and drove off into the snowbank. I'm just clearing that the air. I'm not saying anybody did. I'm not saying it happened, but I'm just saying if it would have happened, it was not I who was at the driving wheel. Okay, keep going.
Okay, so I think that demands a little bit fuller explanation. Yes, it's true. When Darren and I were in college, we were driving through
salt flats of Nevada, Utah area where there's nothing around except snow and easy to fall asleep.
And it was late at night and I was the driver and I did fall asleep. But if I had had Walter there, Walter might have been engaging with me and keeping me awake. You were not driving, but you were asleep and you weren't helping me stay awake at the time, right?
Blame it on me here.
But if I had Walter might have been talking to me about something interesting, something that Walter had seen in the news or coaching me on. We were college students at the time. Maybe he would have been coaching me on a class that I was taking or something like that. And I don't know exactly what Roberto's vision is around that right now, but I think there's good reason to be able to engage the driver in two-way conversation for safety reasons.
Yeah, I love where Walter is right now. I love the capability and functionality of Walter, but I also can see, I can glimpse in the future the potential of what Walter could be and all the other cool things. And that's kind of exciting. As Roberto likes to say, it's like collaborative intelligence. It's not artificial intelligence, it's collaborative intelligence, which is collaborative driving, not backseat driving, but the device and the human working together to make the world a safer place in communicating back and forth.
That's right. And there's this idea, when you say backseat driver, there's this idea that it's unwelcome, right? You don't really want the backseat driver. But if there's a collaborative driver, you welcome that. That's something that you, the driver, are going to find helpful and to help you be a safe driver and a good driver.
Exactly. That's what I keep telling my wife. I'm not a backseat driver. I'm a collaborative driver. I'm trying to help us all get there safely.
Why do I feel like these podcast episodes are a form of marriage counseling for you and your wife?
It's therapy for me. Got to vent. Got to let it out. I feel much better now. Thanks to Roberto and Walter and all of our conversations. And thanks to all of you for joining us once again for another one of my therapy sessions here on the Voice Box.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Darren.
We'll see you next time.
See ya.